This is Connected Nation, a podcast focused on all things broadband, from closing the digital divide to improving your internet speeds. We talk technology topics that impact all of us, our families, and our communities. On today's podcast, we talk with the leadership at the USDA about the recently launched Rural Partners Network, which promises to bring the federal government directly to rural America. We find out how this approach will work, which remote areas will immediately benefit, and how other small towns across the U.S. can take advantage of this new opportunity. I'm Jessica Denson, and this is Connected Nation. I'm Jessica Denson, and my guest today is Farah Ahmad, who is the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Undersecretary for Rural Development. That falls under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or more commonly referred to as simply the USDA. Welcome, Farah.
Thanks, Jessica. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to talk with you again. We've talked before in the past about what the USDA Rural Development is doing, but I just learned about the Rural Partners Network, or RPN, in a press release from the White House. In it, President Biden and Vice President Harris said this effort is, quote, committed to ensuring federal resources and opportunities actually reach rural America, which I'm sure rural America is like, yes, finally. So people are realizing that. Share a little bit about how the Rural Partner Network will operate and some of the challenges of reaching remote areas.
Jessica, thank you so much for having me here today and for saying my title, which is an incredible mouthful. But it is an honor to be here representing the U.S. Department of Agriculture and specifically our mission area known as Rural Development. I am so excited to talk about the Rural Partners Network. I mean, put simply, there are rural communities across this country who have been unable to access federal funding and opportunities for generations. Federal programs are oftentimes very complex. They're hard to understand. I mean, frankly, they're even hard to identify. But there is a great opportunity before us with some historic pieces of legislation like the American Rescue Plan and the bipartisan infrastructure law that came to fruition under the leadership of President Biden. And we want to make sure at the USDA and with our partners at the White House and across the federal government, that rural communities are able to access these opportunities, which are really a once-in-a-generation historic investment.
And USDA Rural Development has done a lot with rural communities, which I'd like to get into a little bit more later in the podcast after we talk a little more about the network. So it's not as though you've ignored rural communities, but this is really a coordinated effort, even more so than we've seen in the past. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, I know I'm in a rural community when I'm with a room full of people who care deeply about their town, but most people in that room are wearing many hats. They're responsible for so much. You know, they may be a county commissioner and also sitting on their school board and may have another full-time job. And while they have a ton of deep expertise and passion for doing really important and hard community and economic development work, they are not federal grant experts. And so that's really what the Rural Partners Network is trying to do, is build on some of our existing relationships that the federal government has with local partners, build more relationships with more local partners, and then help them connect the dots to make their vision for their community, their plans for their community become a reality. Because what their job is to come up with that pathway and that dream for what they want their town or their county or their community to look like. And it's our job as the federal government to work together and bring the resources to them and not ask them to have the expertise of what each federal program is and how it fits into their plan.
I really like the idea. What drew me to this and really wanted to talk to you about this was the idea of changing business as usual, i.e. working across these agencies, like as you spoke about just now. There are 13 key agencies, and I'm not asking you to list all 13, but maybe give us an example of how a different agency within the federal government may work with USDA Rural Development to help a community.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say, It would be a test to see if I can name all 13, but I will name a couple off the top of my head. So we are certainly working with the White House. They have been a very strong and active partner and really leading the way for the development of the Rural Partners Network. But in addition to the White House, we're working with the Small Business Administration, the Department of Education, the Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Labor, Department of Transportation, and several others. But what does this actually look like in reality? How are we bringing federal agencies together? Let me give you an example. So, and you know what? Maybe I'll even use a high-speed internet broadband example.
That's great. Yes.
And so we know along the broadband infrastructure pipeline that we at USD Rural Development can't do it all. So at USD Rural Development, we have broadband infrastructure money through our Reconnect program and a few others, but they're really about last mile connections. We know what some communities really need is middle mile. And what some other communities need is help at the front end, just thinking through planning. What does their broadband planning look like? Will it be municipally led broadband? Are they working with an internet service provider in their region to extend their reach? So different federal agencies have different buckets of funding for different parts of those. While USDA may fund last mile, we know that Department of Commerce through the National Telecommunications Infrastructure Association can fund middle mile. And we also know they can fund planning. So an example of this would be we come together as federal agencies and we meet with a community or a region and they say, hey, we know we need to extend our broadband reach into the furthest corners of our state, reaching the most remote places. We know in some of those places, they only have 10-1 service and we really want to increase their speeds. But we need both middle mile and last mile. So Department of Commerce, USDA can come together and say, let's figure out how to work with you, how to develop a plan and figure out what funding streams we can plug into the plan you have for your community and your region to make sure that you're reaching your goal of whether it's, you know, 100 or 100 or whatever it is that you see for your community's vision.
I think that's wonderful. And you and I have talked before that the idea that some of these smaller communities, they really have one person who's wearing multiple hats. So that help can be vital and critical for these smaller towns and rural areas, correct?
That's correct. It is so important. And one key element of the Rural Partners Network, just to shed a little bit of light into kind of what it is from a nuts and bolts perspective, is that certain places will actually have federal staff working in communities to do that kind of partnership work. So these federal staff are just dedicated to working with these rural communities to do that partnership building, to really layer that federal funding, like in the example that I talked about with broadband, but really to start first with just some conversations with a bunch of local partners in the room and say, hey, you tell us about your plan. Maybe some of them have a five-year plan, that they're just looking to figure out how to operationalize, how to get off the ground and how to actually put those pages to work and fund those projects and, you know, break some ground.
I think that's wonderful that you actually have those local conversations. We have found that that is just a critical step. And sometimes groups miss that. So much applause for that. For now, this project is connected to a specific group of communities, correct? Referred to as Cohort 1, which sounds very governmental to me. Cohort 1 or Phase 1, I guess you could call it. Share some of those and why you chose some of those starting points or places. Is it to kind of phase this in over time?
Yes. And I laugh just hearing you say cohort one. Yes, that feels very government speak. But really what a cohort is just a group, right? So really we are starting with a small group of places, knowing that we can't be everywhere at once. So this is a new initiative, again, the Rural Partners Network. We did get, you know, funding for this initiative in the budget, which we were so thrilled about. And that's why we can actually be in 5 states right now. So those states are Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, New Mexico, and some tribal communities in Arizona. And you asked the question of how did we select cohort one or this group of five of communities across 5 states? Well, we looked at a couple of different things. The first is we looked at these community networks in these states based on both quantitative and qualitative factors, including, you know, levels of economic distress, but also of readiness and desire, and communities who were already starting to work together in their region, who had the desire to really take their plans to the next level. So it wasn't just need that we looked at across various indicators, it was also opportunity. And, you know, as part of the selection process, USDA actually conducted community engagement sessions with local community leaders about the Rural Partners Network and about their interest, just to make sure that it was the right fit for them for where they were right now. And the communities themselves determined the compositions of these networks, which was great. You know, they get to self-determine, you know, who they wanted to work with together in their region, which was really, really exciting.
And are those first five states or are groups already on the ground working, or is that coming up?
It's coming up. We hope to have that federal staff that I talked about who will be in these communities and serving these communities and building those partnerships sometime later this spring. So we're in process of working to hire those folks right now, and we're really excited about it. And then we will have, you know, another cohort, if you will, cohort two in the future, hopefully later this year. And those will be in Nevada, North Carolina, Puerto Rico, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and some communities in Alaska. And we hope to launch that by the end of August.
And notice in both of those cohorts that you're doing a lot with tribal communities. That's really an area that's very much underserved currently. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, at USDA Rural Development, we, you know, have a responsibility. The whole federal government has a responsibility to fulfill our trust responsibility with tribes. And so working with them is a really important aspect of the work that we do, just generally. But as part of that, you know, when we were developing the Rural Partners Network, we knew that we wanted to work with tribal communities as well. There's a lot of need, but also that opportunity in working with tribes. And in our community engagement sessions with them, they were very excited to be a part of this network.
What about long-term support for the network? Is there a goal to ultimately expand this to all 50 states down the road?
Yeah, I mean, if provided from Congress, yes, we would love to expand the Rural Partners Network and ultimately continue to serve 50 states and more tribal nations and territories. We are, you know, starting with these states, as I mentioned, based on, you know, the budget that we have today. But expansion is definitely top of mind for us, knowing that there is a lot of need across the states and territories and tribes for the federal resources that are out there. And as I mentioned at the top, there's an unprecedented amount of federal resources right now for things like creating jobs, for infrastructure development. We want to make sure that those resources get to rural places. And so that's part of our mission with the Rural Partners Network.
And what kind of advice with all of these funding that's out there with the Infrastructure Act or Bill, the Jobs Act, the Reconnect, all these different things, even if a small community may not be a part of these first few phases or cohorts of the Rural Partners Network, well, is there some advice you could offer them to start to take steps on their own?
Yeah, absolutely. I am so glad you asked that question. As part of the Rural Partners Network, there's actually two key strategies. The first is the one I already mentioned, which is really the place-based strategy. So having that federal staff embedded in the communities that are a part of these first two cohorts to actually build those partnerships and help navigate those federal resources. But knowing we can't be everywhere at once and have federal staff in all 50 states and territories, we actually have a second strategy that's part of the Rural Partners Network. And this strategy is actually about having federal staff in headquarters offices across federal agencies with one mission, And that mission is to better serve rural communities. And this is really exciting to have federal staff in government agencies just with that sole purpose to better serve rural places. And each of these agencies that are part of this network will have that kind of dedicated staff support in their agencies to do that. And what will they do? They'll do a couple of different things. One, we'll actually be supporting that place-based staff that's in the states that I talked about earlier. Two, they'll actually help develop kind of broader communications and tools that all rural communities can use to better access and navigate federal programs. And then three, you know, they will really work on rural strategy coordination and collaboration across the departments. And some of what we hope will come out of that is actually learning from what the challenges are that we are hearing on the ground from our place-based staff. You know, which programs are hard to access and why? What challenges are rural communities or tribes facing specifically in accessing a program in one agency versus the other? Is there something that we could do to tackle those barriers? And that's a really important of our important piece of our equity agenda. And so we're really thrilled to have some federal staff in our national offices dedicated to rural to really be thinking about how we can bring these lessons learned from the field into the federal policy conversation and then create tools that are actually useful for communities to navigate these programs. Now, for folks today, there actually is one tool that I just want to note for folks if they haven't taken a look, which was recently released, I want to say about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Rural Playbook. And so the White House actually looked across all of the programs available in the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, over $100 trillion worth of programs, and picked out which ones had specific rural set-asides, which programs were designed for rural, and actually put that together in a playbook, which they launched online for rural communities to access. And so that's just a really, really great tool. And that'd be my one piece of advice for folks today looking for resources that will help their rural communities.
I will get that link and I will put it in the description of this podcast for the benefit of our audience. You did mention something there that I'd love for you to expand upon a little bit. You mentioned equity. We talk a lot about digital equity and digital inclusion at Connect a Nation. And you said that USDA really has an equity agenda and the idea that they want to level the playing field. Can you expand a little bit more on what you're doing in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the president signed the executive order on advancing racial justice and equity, we were very excited at rural development at USDA. In a way, it's a lot of the work that we've been doing at this agency for decades, but it gave us a mandate on doing this work every single day and trying to kind of fundamentally transform our programs where we could to meet that agenda. So I would say a couple of things that we're trying to do is examine some of those barriers in our programs. And so we've done, you know, listening sessions with rural communities about which programs are hard to access and why. We've also done this through tribal consultations, for example. And then based on what we've been hearing, we've made changes where we can. Knowing that we can't change everything, some things are statutory and we'll rely on Congress for direction there. But where we were able to make changes in our programs at the program level, we have. So one, for example, that I know we've talked about a little before, but I wanted to highlight is in our Reconnect Broadband program, where we actually, for the first time, changed our programs to say, hey, if your community is socially vulnerable, you don't have to meet the match requirement. Because we heard time and time again that communities coming up with a match for a federal grant or loan is a huge barrier to their application.
I think it's great what you're doing with that, and we would applaud that for sure. Digital inclusion, digital equity is something that we struggle with, and we see examples of it and examples of when things go really well and positive things happen. So I love to see that. One thing I do want to ask you about the Rural Partners Network. What do you think is a measure of success? What would it look like to really see that network thrive. And that how would you measure the success of something like that in your mind, or it yours alone, Farah, or with the USDA in general? How would you measure that?
This is probably the hardest question you're asking me today, but the one that is so important, and there's a reason it keeps me up at night. We want to make sure that the work that we're doing is making a difference in the lives of the communities that we serve. And it's not always easy to tell. So I think about this in a couple of different ways. So one, at the community level, a measure of success could be, you know, if a community has a plan, has a regional plan or an economic development plan, we can measure, you know, that they thoughtfully put together by bringing a bunch of community partners together. And they say, hey, here are our three priorities. It could be, you know, investing in young people's education or in growing its healthcare industry regionally, whatever it may be. We can look at an individual community's plan. And after we bring, you know, the Rural Partners Network folks together after a year or two, we can say, hey, did we actually make strides in that plan? Did we get to those strategies? Did we advance those projects? Did we invest in those things? So that's at the community level. And I think that another measure of success is, you know, did we bring more partners to the table? So the federal government, our programs have, you know, specific things that we can invest in and rules. And that means that there are a lot of gaps between what we can't do. So I think another measure of success is through this network, did we bring in other organizations who can fill those gaps, which could be philanthropy, it could be state agencies or otherwise. So I think that would be another measure of success, more in the short or medium term would be partnerships. And then I think in the long term, you know, we could look at overall sort of socioeconomic indicators in a place, but, you know, that's a real long-term game. We're looking at 20, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, but that's the ultimate goal, right? Is to make sure that we're tackling things like persistent poverty, which we know shows up in rural communities more than anywhere else, and other really important indicators.
I knew it was a big question, but I knew you'd have a good answer, and you did. Thank you. I could talk to you all day. I love it when you come on as our guest, as I've been very vocal to say. So just a few more questions, and I'll let you go. First off, with, you know, at Connected Nation, we do focus a lot on broadband. That's where we are. Digital inclusion, digital equity, access. What are some areas or any other new projects that you guys are working on specifically in that area, especially since we've seen how much connectivity matters during the pandemic?
Yeah, broadband is the program we probably get asked more about these days than anything else. We know how important it is, you know, and everything from expanding access to education or improving access to things like telehealth. So we know that it really is fundamental. And a couple of things that I wanted to share with folks here. So through the bipartisan infrastructure law, USDA Rural Development received about $2 billion of funding for broadband. Much of that is in our existing program, which is ReConnect, which I know folks here have heard about a little bit from me in the past. But there are a couple of interesting nuggets about that funding that I want to highlight. One is there's actually a dedicated funding for technical assistance. And we know how important that is really at the early stages of thinking about, you know, building out high-speed internet, making sure that there's a plan for how to build out that infrastructure. And that plan, of course, goes beyond that in terms of thinking about things like affordability for folks of, you know, of high quality plans, and then things like, you know, digital inclusion, as you mentioned earlier. And so we're really excited about the fact that we now have these technical assistance funds that came through the bipartisan infrastructure law specifically for broadband. And one other new piece that we are working on that came through that law as well is specific technical assistance money for cooperative development. So we know that cooperatives play a big role in rural communities. You know, originally, you know, cooperatives and rural communities were focused a lot on, you know, bringing electricity to rural places. And, you know, many of them are now expanding into the world of providing high-speed internet and other types of cooperatives that just want to start and help advance a high-speed internet in their area. So we're very excited about that new program that's part of this bipartisan infrastructure law as well, all under the umbrella of broadband.
I know a lot of our staff members will be excited to hear about that one for sure. Anything else before I let you go that you wanted to really bring up about either the Rural Partners Network or something the USDA Rural Development is working on that I didn't ask you about that you really would love to share right now?
Yeah, I would just say that the Rural Partners Network, it really is an all of government effort. I know that I'm here on behalf of USDA, and you know, we are taking a lead role in the Rural Partners Network because, you know, we are a strong place-based organization, and we do have staff in the field. That's really our bread and butter, and they live and work in the rural communities they serve. And that does make us an experienced, you know, ambassador for rural communities among our federal partners. But even though we are sort of leading the way in Rural Partners Network, we could not do it without the support of the many other federal agencies who are participating in this and really are committed to serving rural communities in a way that I've never seen before. And that's all under, you know, the leadership of the White House and this administration really tasking us with implementing the Rural Partners Network. In fact, this was a promise that the president made way back when he was on the campaign trail, and now it's coming to fruition. So we're really excited to be a part of delivering on that promise to better serve rural communities through the Rural Partners Network.
Well, it's a very exciting time to be a part of this, and I really appreciate you taking your time to share what you know about the Rural Partners Network and what's going on with it. I'd love to revisit it down the road, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and see how things are going. Even if we get to talk to some of the communities you are helping, that would be awesome if you're open to that.
Yeah, I would love to follow up with you. You know, once we've got some staff in place and we're rocking and rolling, that sounds great.
Again, we have been talking today with Farah Ahmad, who is the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Undersecretary for Rural Development. To learn more about the Rural Partners Network and the USDA, you can find direct links to both in the description of this podcast. I also will include links to the bipartisan rural playbook that we mentioned. I'm Jessica Denson. Thanks for listening to Connected Nation. If you like our show and want to know more about us, head to connectednation.org or look for the latest episodes of Connected Nation on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Pandora, and other major podcast platforms.